Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hey, I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in wafting distance from some of New York's best pizza. Today is a bittersweet one on Pizza Party. It's our last episode on Heritage Radio Network. I figured, as Colin Hagendorf of The Slice Harvester would say, that I didn't want to leave you all thinking I was the Simpsons of pizza podcasts, the thing that just kept going and going and going until it was so awful no one wanted to listen or watch it anymore. Also, there's nothing worse than a pizza hangover, so we're leaving on an incredible high note today with Phil Hartman, our guest, who is the founder and owner of Two Boots Pizza. Two Boots began as an East Village institution and has grown to be a nationwide source of creative and delicious pies. Phil, thanks for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Great to have you. So you've been in restaurants a long time. You opened the Great Jones Cafe before Two Boots in the 1980s. So what inspired you to get into the restaurant business?
Well, in the early 80s, I was working as a screenwriter for Warner Brothers and earning...
Not a bad gig.
Well, you know, earning a living, and the living part is in quotes. Mm-hmm. They like to have one, like, house weirdo on staff. And, you know, they would option scripts, not make them to movies, you know... It gave them some credibility to have weird stuff in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. But my friends and I were big college hoop fans, and we began going to the NCAA tournament every year starting in 82. In 82, it was in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So it was our first trip to New Orleans, and we were really blown away. We actually were in the front row when Michael Jordan hit his shot, and he became Michael Jordan.
Whoa, cool.
So, like, the Genesis story actually starts the night we walked down Bourbon Street with Michael Jordan. He just happened to be accompanying us.
Okay.
And we came back to New York, and my best friend from high school wanted to open his own restaurant. And I was, like, really frustrated with what was going on at Warner Brothers. I actually had written a punk rock detective story, and... They were pushing to get the Doobie Brothers to star in it. And I'm like, no, that's not really the right fit. Mm-hmm. So I figured, well, I'll help my friend open a restaurant. I won't have to write for money anymore. So we opened the Great Jones Cafe, which is still there 32 years later. Mm-hmm. And we weren't even sure what we were going to serve there until a couple of months before we opened, when we started thinking about our experience in New Orleans, and there was no Cajun food in New York at that point. Mm-hmm. So we opened the Great Jones in June with me tending bar and my buddy in the kitchen, literally with Paul Prudhomme's book open on the chef's table.
Wow.
And somebody would order something, he'd flip the page and read the recipe and make it, and you know, he was fantastic. And that introduced black and redfish to New York, and you know, gumbo, jambalaya, everything. You know, it was such a success that there wasn't a lot of screenwriting after that.
Right.
Though I did make enough to make a feature film a couple of years later, and before too long, the Great Jones, like, it was like a Wild West show there. It was on the Bowery. I mean, people were pulling guns. I mean, it was just a crazy scene. And my partner and I, Doris Cornish, had a baby, and we wanted something a little more family-oriented. So we took the Cajun cooking. Doris and I both loved pizza and beer, mm-hmm. and we combined them. And with a friend named John Tui, who had the real estate, opened Two Boots on Avenue A, back when Lower Avenue A was desolate.
Mm-hmm. 1987, right?
1987. There was one restaurant within five blocks. I think last time I checked, there were like 74 restaurants
yeah.
within five blocks.
So. But you guys are still there, right?
Yeah, well, we moved across the street at one point, but we're still there at A and 3rd. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you were sort of, I mean, the only restaurant at the time, but for a long time, the only sort of family-friendly restaurant for a time, right?
Yeah. I mean, there were no kids down in that neck of the woods then.
Yeah.
But we painted on the window right from the beginning, children welcome, because that was important to us. When we opened, we had a 2.5-year-old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, gradually families, you know, infiltrated the neighborhood and it became a hangout. The great thing about Two Boots back then was that you'd have like Ukrainian grandmothers at one table and punks with mohawks at the next table. Mm-hmm. And everybody was just like hanging together and eating Cajun pizza. So it's cool.
That's awesome. Did you have a hard time sort of fusing those two together? Because it seems like still, you know, there's so many restaurants in New York now, both Cajun and pizza, but it seems like sort of a unlikely bedfellows in a way.
Well, you know, there is a very strong Italian community in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. There's a restaurant called Mosca's, which is like on the outskirts of town, which mm-hmm. For us is, you know, one of the real touchstones. And we actually had a dish called Shrimp Mosca on the original menu. So there is a lot of history there for us to draw on. There's a place called Mandina's. There's Pasqua Manalis's. There's some great Italian food that really led the way for us. And, you know, our other source is New Haven. And, mm-hmm. like, we love Sally's in New Haven, and a lot of what we've done is a tribute to New Haven pizza.
Cool. And how often do you get back to New Orleans now? Are you still sort of going and checking in? And
I go as often as I can. I take my kids to Jazz Fest every year, and then they head back by themselves. And I usually take a drive through Cajun country by myself, mm-hmm. and I'm, like, sourcing new food products and visiting our sausage purveyor and our beer guy, and those 2 days are, like, a couple of the best days of the year for me.
Yeah, that's great. Who do you get your sausage from, just out of curiosity?
Well, there's a family-owned business called Savoie's, which is outside of Opelousas, and they started in a little gas station, so their offices are in the back of the gas station, and the front of it is, like, a little general store. And they make the sausage like a quarter mile away, and we get tasso from them, andouille, and some other goodies.
Awesome. And so now your son, Leon, is involved in the business, right? What's it like sort of having that next generation?
Well, you know, it's awesome. You know, he's 30, and people ask him how long he's been like working in the family business, and he says, well, like 27 years. So, like, I mean, literally, you know, he grew up in it, and listen, he's got his own dreams, and he's a musician and is a film guy also, so who knows what he'll eventually do, but he's been, you know, an amazing resource, and, you know, having your son work with you a few feet away, it's pretty incredible.
Pretty cool, yeah, and he has, like, a lot of little kids, myself included, sort of, like, dream family business to walk into, like, running a pizzeria. I would... You know, sorry, Dad. My dad sells medical supplies. It's not quite as delicious. But you also opened Pioneer Theater, which is a film theater. And obviously you have background in film. And it seems like, you know, your whole family is really creative. And as is Two Boots, that's really apparent. So I'm wondering how you sort of fuse those two together, see the, you know, art and pizza intersecting at Two Boots, and how you, you know, interpret that in your pizzas and your work.
Right. Well, they're kind of inextricably intertwined. I mean, we're film people, so movies are part of everything we do with Two Boots, whether it's doing tribute pies in honor of films or actors that we love. We opened the Pioneer Theater, which was a showcase for indie films. We had a video store for years, which mm-hmm. we actually just closed mm-hmm. after 16 years. So, yeah, films... It's got a very special place for Two Boots. But beyond that, the arts community, it's what has nourished Two Boots from the beginning. And, like, we wouldn't exist without the East Village arts community. We use local artists at every branch we open. And, I mean, like, the pizzas are a reflection of our relationship with the arts community. So there are murals and mosaics and sculptures as an enormous part of Two Boots, and it's been really great as we've expanded around the country to bring in artists from all over the country who are kind of, you know, continuing that tradition.
For sure. And do you have a favorite pizza-centered movie or scene that involves pizza in a movie? Because
yeah, actually, I do.
Immediately comes to mind.
Yeah,
I don't have to
because
think about it.
The opening scene of Saturday Night Fever, which is like mm-hmm. one of my favorite movies, and Travolta stops and gets two slices. He eats them on top of each other as he's walking down the street with the paint can in his other hand, which is like moving to the beat of Staying Alive. And I'm all about that. Like, I'm a slice joint guy. I love getting a slice and eating as I walk down the street. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is like New York pizza.
For sure. Have you ever done the Travolta two-slice
I've never
stack?
Doubled up like that, no.
Could do like two boot flavors and really kind of get crazy.
Yeah, you could. I'm kind of about like extending the experience as long as I can, not like doubling it up.
Right.
So.
One in each hand.
Yeah.
This might be a controversial question, but I always like to ask it. What is your favorite slice or pizza place that's not Two Boots? And it doesn't have to be in New York, actually. We'll open it up.
But. Okay, well, let me say this. I love pizza. I do. And I love pizza all over the place. And when I'm traveling, I go into like every pizza joint everywhere. Because, you know, you never know when you're going to find something.
Research.
Yeah.
Business research, yeah.
So as I said, I love Sally's in New Haven. But in New York, I would say it's Patsy's in East Harlem, which I don't know if you've been there, but... first of all, it's like a vestige of a bygone era coal oven. I mean,
oldest pizza place in the city, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it used to be that you'd park and run, but you know, well, that neighborhood's changed a little bit for the better and the worse. But the pizza's still the same, and it's just got this wonderful smoky, you know, deliciousness. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Patsy's.
A Patsy's guy.
Cool.
That's the original Patsy's, not the Patsy's chain.
Got it. Okay. I appreciate your forthrightness because some people are like, only my pizza. I didn't want to talk about any other pizza. And how do you sort of develop your pies and toppings? Like when you're talking about bringing in a new pie, what's the process? Do you get in the kitchen or are you scribbling notes? Sort of how does it work?
Yeah, well, I'm the head eater. So, you know,
I want that job title.
It's a nice job. I'm not a pizzaiolo myself, but what will happen is that I will say, hey, like, wouldn't it be great to have a sausage and pepper hero on a pizza? And then we'll start experimenting. That's how the Cleopatra Jones pizza started. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be ingredient based. Like, we want to do something with the pickled peppers from the Pickle Guys down on Essex Street. Mm-hmm. So we'll build a pizza around that. And it's a lot of taste testing. We have one branch we call the Slice Lab, and we get in there and we do a lot of eating and a lot of tweaking. Mm-hmm. Like, right now, there's a sausage from Louisiana called Chorizo, which is like Cajun chorizo. So... nobody's serving that here in New York, so we're going to start experimenting with that, and we're hoping in February to roll out a new Chorizo pizza.
Cool. And what do you think, I mean, obviously Cajun food and New Orleans food has sort of exploded in New York, for better or for worse. What do you think when you look at that scene now, given that when you started, you were the only ones? Are you happy about it? Do you think that they're sort of falling short? Where do you stand on that?
I mean, you know, I love Louisiana, so anything that's good for Louisiana, I'm down with. I think it's funny, like when we started serving andouille on pizza, it was like people ordering the, you know, andouille, and no one even knew how to pronounce it, much less what was in it. Mm-hmm. And now you see andouille all over the place. So that's cool. I guess it's helping some andouille producers down in Louisiana.
Right.
But, you know, there's been a certain, like, tendency to make Cajun food generic, so that, you know, Applebee's is serving blackened chicken or whatever. So I worry sometimes that some of the authenticity is getting lost, but it's still great to get good Cajun food. And I just have so much respect for the food community down there.
Mm-hmm.
They just take it so, you know, simultaneously they take it really seriously, but they don't fetishize it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like integrated in their culture. Like, and there are other places where the fetishizing of food for the last 10 years has really rubbed me the wrong way, personally.
Mm-hmm.
But in New Orleans, you know, they treasure their history. Like, old restaurants get supported. Like, I hate when old places close down in New York. It just breaks my heart. When I go to a new city, I usually say, hey, where's the oldest Italian restaurant in town? And, right. and then I specify unrenovated. And that's always going to be a great place. And in New Orleans, obviously, there's so many great old joints. So.
For sure. Yeah, I was there last March on a food course through NYU, and it was amazing.
Where'd you go?
We had Friday lunch at Galatoire's, which came immediately to mind when you're talking about the old restaurants. But I always, that was one of the first things I noticed is sort of, you know, this whole local movement that we have. And in New Orleans, it's just everything is local and they don't need to call it that because that's just what they do. So I think that's a really great point. It's just subtly doing things that a lot of people are getting all excited about. Yeah. But we are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. We have more Two Boots to talk. And we also will have the creator of the internet famous pizza bed coming up in just a minute on this extra special last episode of Pizza Party. But first, we have your pizza news brief
of
the week.
Pizza news brief.
Jack's laughing in the studio there. I don't think he's heard it in a while. But Taylor Swift turned 25 this past weekend, and the Queen of Pop herself kicked her 25th birthday off with a pizza party at her New York Tribeca apartment in the early hours of Saturday morning. The Daily Mail reports that at least 20 pizzas were delivered for guests that included Jay-Z, Beyonce, Justin Timberlake, and Selena Gomez. No word on where the pizzas were from. Any chance they were Two Boots?
Yes. We've catered to Taylor in Nashville, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And Selena Gomez has laid down on our counter at Nashville Two Boots.
Wow. Good. There we go. Mystery solved. Daily Mail didn't get that one. Also in pizza news, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are probably rolling over in their TV graves this week. The original animated pizza lovers say in their movie that a 99 cheese pizza is a, quote, culinary impossibility, but one Melbourne-based chef set out to prove them wrong. Johnny DeFrancesco, who is the owner of 400 Grotti in Melbourne and the world's current title holder of the best Neapolitan pizza maker, melted together 94 cheeses into one block and grated them over a pizza. The pie was then topped with 5 fresh cheeses, bringing the total to 99, and is being served at his restaurant just in time to honor the launch of the movie's DVD and Blu-ray releases. So for all of you Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans, pizza fans, probably one and the same, check it out in Melbourne. The pizza war between Two Bros Pizza and Bombay Fast Food's 6th Ave Pizza is finally over. The New York Post reported that the last 2 years were tense along 6th Avenue off 38th Street in Midtown, as both places lowered their prices to a mind-blowing 75 cents in order to compete with each other, which is like, you know, I wish I would have known about that because I never made it up to 38th Street to see that happen. It was the only Two Bros location to sell a slice for that low, but they actually lost. They closed a couple of years ago, and Mohit Mitra, who is the co-owner of Bombay and 6th Ave, said that, quote, this was an emotional matter. Everyone was losing money. The price to produce a slice is currently at about $1.20, according to him. But appropriately enough, Mitra has since changed his shop's name to Pizza King. So really like that fittedness. And according to a new report, a great pizza is all about the crust. Data Essential found that 46% of consumers they surveyed cited the crust as the most crucial ingredient in an outstanding pizza. The sauce and toppings were cited by just 20%, and the cheese, of all things, by 14%. So that is your pizza news brief of the week. We'll be back in just a minute with Phil Hartman behind Two Boots Pizza. You are listening to Pizza Party on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Talia Ralph.
From your chalice chest and I bow my head to you. Cause kicking myself would be a waste of bruises and you won't allow that can do. I know it will get easier over time. Take off the swimming up the rise. Ba da da ba da.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Welcome back to Pizza Party. We are ringing out the year in pizza with the owner of Two Boots, Phil Hartman. Thanks for being in the studio, Phil.
It's great to be here. And I also want to say that we don't use Wisconsin cheese.
Oh, no.
But our cheese is from upstate New York. And when the big snow came 2 weeks ago, our cheese got snowed in.
Oh, my God.
And so we did use Wisconsin cheese for a week.
Wow.
No one noticed the difference.
There was no like, whoa, this cheese is way better.
Maybe it's
way
better. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, we don't want to start that competition. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're both delicious.
Yes.
And we're very grateful to the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. But speaking of sourcing, you guys expanded all over the city and country. You're in Baltimore, New Haven, Nashville, L.A., Williamsburg, now Park Slope, right? Did I miss anywhere?
Did you say Los Angeles?
Yes. L.A., right? So,
Let me just correct. We're not in New Haven, which New Haven would be too presumptuous because it's pizza mecca. But we're in Bridgeport, Connecticut, all places, which that's a whole other
story. That's fine. Yeah. Well, if it's a good story, we could definitely get into it. But I would love to talk about, I mean, you are really big on doing local pies. And so I'm wondering both about those and sort of on a bigger scale, how the restaurant changes and adapts to each new city or, you know, what are you bringing every single time you open?
Well, you know, it's really challenging because we hate the word chain. And when people refer to us as a chain, like my hair, what's left of it stands up. And we do want to grow and people are constantly asking us to come to their communities. So, you know, it's been an interesting process to, you know, to grow, try to make every branch unique, try to stay indigenous to every community that we're in. So physically, every branch of Two Boots is different. So some have full bars, some have full service dining, some have a movie theater, some had video store. They're all handmade. Like, there's no like cookie cutter feel to them. You walk into every branch of Two Boots, it feels totally different. Mm-hmm. Whether we can do that forever or how many stores, you know, that's something we're always grappling with. Then we do a unique pizza at every location. It's called the Home Pie, and we use local ingredients and we pay tribute to a local institution or local luminary. And you know, the day that we stop being able to do that is going to be the day that I won't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. It requires a lot of like legwork. I travel all the time. I've got great people to work with us that travel as well. And we've taken in a couple of partners in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So in Nashville, for instance, we have a local partner down there, a huge Two Boots fan who like begged for the opportunity. And he's done an amazing job down there. The store is actually in some ways out Two Booted New York Two Boots.
It's more Two Boots than Two Boots. Wow.
Yeah. It's just awesome. And, it's been so interesting to see how the success has evolved there because there are a lot of expat New Yorkers in a town like Nashville, and like when Two Boots comes, it's like, oh my God, you know, a taste of home. But there are also like a lot of good old boys there who've never tasted anything like this because for them, pizza has been whatever, Papa John's or Domino's. And the response from that part of the community has been really astounding and encouraging for us as we grow. So we're going to grow a combination of company-owned stores, and if we can find great partners like Sam Boyer in Nashville, mm-hmm. I'll give a shout-out to him, we'll continue to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. So what is the Nashville pie? And by the way, I do have to say that we talked about this before the show, but Two Boots in Echo Park saved my life. I mean, I was not a New Yorker. I was a Montrealer, and I missed pizza in L.A. Sadly, it's still not a great pizza city, and that's the great pizza.
Okay, well, let's talk about LA for a second, then we'll go back to Nashville.
Let's get into it, yeah.
Because, yeah,
you disagree with me, please.
No, this myth about you can't make good pizza outside of New York because of the water is total hokum. And I would use a more graphic word, but it's absolute hokum, let's say. And it's just like a lame excuse for people who, I don't know, don't know what they're doing. But we'd been told, oh, you have to ship your water in from New York. That's ridiculous.
Nope.
So our pizza in Echo Park, and, you know, you've been there. I mean, we did tweak the recipe slightly in terms of how much water versus oil we put in there. But I think the pizza in Echo Park is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We've got, like, actually a young woman who's become one of our, like, all-time great pizza makers.
Awesome.
Her name's Anne. And I'm really proud of the pizza there. And we're in downtown L.A. as well now. Mm-hmm. And then in Nashville, we do a really great home pie, since you asked. Mm-hmm. You know about hot chicken from Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
It's a local specialty, and I'm a chicken freak, so I love the Nashville hot chicken. So we use hot chicken from Hattie B's, which is a local joint,
cool.
And we thin slice it and put it on pizza, and we serve fresh pickles as a side with it, and oh, my God, it is so good.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's go back to L.A. because I'm like, I kind of want to get into it. People are always, lots of hating of L.A. pizza and Chicago pizza on this show, which I push back against. But I do think, I mean, do you think that you've had other great pizza in L.A.? I wouldn't argue that it's the water thing. I think it's just there's less competition. There's less out there. I mean, there's Mazza, which is great. There was actually Massa, which is super controversial because it's a deep dish pizza in L.A., so everyone listening is going to hate me, but I loved it there. I mean,
well, that's right down the block from Toulouse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The owners of that place are the nicest people in the world, so I, like, wish them all the success. So I don't eat a lot of pizza in L.A. Nothing is really grabbed me there, but you know, my feeling about people's feelings towards pizza is like towards baseball. Like, I love baseball so much. So if you're a Dodger fan or a Cub fan or a Mariners fan, God bless you. Like, as long as you love baseball, you know,
same
thing with pizza. So listen, I don't really love Chicago style pizza, but as long as you're into pizza, that's cool with me.
You're good by you. Cool. Yeah. Yes, I feel like that too. Dog people and pizza people are the two people I trust.
Okay.
So we're almost out of time, but I'm wondering sort of what's the future? What's next for Two Boots? I mean, you just opened again in Park Slope. What are you guys looking forward to at the, you know, end of 2014?
Well,
of 2015.
You know, as I was saying, we've had a couple of like really great proposed partnerships in the last couple of days. So I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much, but like we did a pizza as a tribute to Animal Collective earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're big Two Boots fans, and
what was on that? I'm curious.
Well, it's funny because when we came out with it at first, it was a meat pie, and
are they vegetarians?
Then we heard from the manager that they were all vegetarians.
Mm.
So we backtracked, changed the pizza. It's now spinach and artichoke dip pie. And we were talking to Dr. Dog yesterday, so we're going to try to create a pizza with Dr. Dog. And we heard from Sun Records earlier in the week, and we're talking about doing like a Sun Records Two Boots tribute pie.
Yeah.
We did something with Jack White this year. We created a hot dog pizza that was a tribute to his childhood in Michigan.
Nice.
So we're always looking for interesting collaborations like that. And we're looking to open a joint in Hollywood later this year. We're looking in the financial district. And we're going to do something with Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. So, you know, we're always looking for interesting, like, out-of-the-box partners and locations. And you know, just trying to stay true to our roots.
For sure. If anybody out there listening has a great, crazy idea, although it sounds like you guys have a lot on your plates, where's the best place for them to find you or follow
Phil
you?
Phil@twoboots.com.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, my name is up in most of the branches. I love getting suggestions, so
awesome.
Send them in.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Phil. And we are just about ready to put Pizza Party to bed. And so it's only fitting that we do so with the creator of the pizza bed. Brooklyn-based artist Claire Mangiello came up with this brilliant bedding design while chomping on a late-night slice, which is where all the best ideas happen, obviously. And it's since become an online sensation and now a Kickstarter project with 11 days left to make itself a reality. Claire, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
For sure. So, I mean, the story's on the Kickstarter, and it's great, but can you tell us more about both the idea, how you came up with it, and sort of the philosophy behind the pizza bed?
Sure. Basically, I was, it was a late night, about 3 a.m., and cold winter night, and my friend and I were walking around eating pizza and just wishing that we could actually, you know, peel back the cheese and fall under if it were, you know, giant-sized. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the next morning I think I was like, that was actually not a bad idea, so let me Photoshop that. And that's kind of how it was born. And I just kind of put it on my portfolio as kind of a joke, and like a year later, it was all over the internet, kind of without me doing anything.
Yeah, the internet is a strange place like that. So the actual construction, just for those of you who have not seen it, is sauce sheets, a cheese and pepperoni, duvet cover, and crust pillows, right?
Yes.
And so why do you think it's resonated so much with people, both on the internet and now with your Kickstarter? What is it about the pizza bed that you think people want?
Well, I think it's been a good year for pizza in general. I personally have always loved pizza. So I think I, you know, just really got lucky with the timing, especially with this whole snack wave thing that's going on. And I just, you know, people like Diplo started posting it, and you know, people like to follow that
for sure.
So yeah, but you know, it's pizza. I don't really that's pretty much all I can say.
That's all you need to say on this show. So the comforter, as you're promoting it and hopefully selling it, is pepperoni. I'm wondering if there will be vegetarian pizza beds available. I mean, we were just talking about,
yes, ideally once this gets funded, or you know, is made in a different fashion, ideally I would have other options later on, you know, a cheese only, and then maybe some different shaped throw pillows. I mean, you could get a mushroom throw pillow or an anchovy throw pillow if you're really crazy.
Oh, I like that.
Some broccoli, what have you.
I don't know if I would do the whole
customize your own bed.
Yeah, I would definitely do an anchovy throw pillow, although the whole bed's a little bit intimidating to me. But if you do make the Kickstarter, will you be sleeping in a pizza bed?
Oh, I will definitely be sleeping in a pizza bed. luckily, I will, no matter what, I will have a pizza bed since I've, you know, ordered a sample from the factory.
Wow.
So even if it doesn't get funded, I will have a pizza bed.
You got it. Well,
which is exciting.
There are 11 days left of the Kickstarter, right? Still a ways to go. So if you, too,
still
out
ways
there.
To go. Yeah, I did ask for quite a bit of money. I had a pretty large minimum order that I would have to make in order to get these made. So if the Kickstarter doesn't get funded, I'm going to look into other options, you know, private investors who've reached out to me, and then possibly redoing the Kickstarter, which is great that you can do that with Kickstarter. You can kind of just throw it up there again and then maybe only offer, you know, just the queen size, because that seems to be the most popular, and that would reduce my goal by a lot and maybe make it a more feasible option.
For sure. So if you guys out there want a pizza bed, you can donate to the Kickstarter. What's the best way for people to find you, Claire?
Sorry?
What's the best way for people to find you, donate to the Kickstarter, if they want to see the pizza bed become real?
If you just Google pizza bed Kickstarter, it'll show up. It's up there.
There you'll be. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We are out of time. Thank you to our guest, Phil Hartman of Two Boots Pizza, and to all my guests this season for bringing their passion for pizza and their knowledge to the airwaves. I feel so fortunate to have had this pizza obsessing opportunity, and so I owe huge gratitude to Aaron Fairbanks, our executive director, Jack Inslee, our executive producer, and Allison Hamlin for giving pizza a dedicated place on the network this season. Also, as usual, to my always unflappable engineer, Liz, for all of her amazing work, to Pizza Party Bass, who generously lent their music for our intro this season, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board for their sponsorship, and the Wisconsin Cheese the week of the New York snow out for Two Boots. And certainly last but not least, all of you for listening. It would not have been a pizza party without you. If you're looking for ways to get or stay involved with Heritage, we are still in our winter fundraising drive until the 23rd of December, and we would love to have you join our food-obsessed Heritage family. You can give any amount, but the more you do, the cooler stuff you get. Up for grabs is actually a pizza tote bag. It's awesome. Fits a box of pizza or four beautifully. I have tried it. I was at Polly G's the other night and had a delicious Hollandaise pie, and fit the leftovers right in there. So check that out. For Heritage Radio Network, this is the last episode of Pizza Party. I've been your host, Talia Ralph, but the pizza will still be here, and you should come eat some and then talk to me about it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.